onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is Word for Word for Monday, August the 8th, 2016. The topic today is Exodus chapters 28 and 29. These are all construction details, pretty much, and don't require a lot of comment, but there's some interesting little things that are in here that I'll bring to note, and we'll get to them as we go along. They had finished constructing, finished the details of construction for the tent of meeting, where the Ark of the Covenant was going to be, that they were going to carry through the wilderness for 40 years in chapter 27. So we're going to get into the clothing that was supposed to be designed for Aharon and his sons. And all these details were given to Moshe on the mountain. So let's start with chapter 28, verse 1. This is Yahweh speaking to Moshe. And take you unto you Aharon, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, so that he may minister to me as a priest. 3, 5, 4, 7. Aharon, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, sons of Aharon. And you shall make holy garments for Aharon, your brother, for glory. 3, 5, 1, 9. They were to be magnificent because he was going to be in the service of Yahweh, and everything had to be just right. And for beauty, 8, 5, 9, 7. And you shall speak to all wise, 24, 50, of heart, 38:20, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, 2, 4, 5, 1, that they may make Aharon's garments to consecrate, 6, 9, 4, 2, in other words, set him apart, so that he may minister to me as a priest. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breast piece, 2833, and an ephod, 646, and a robe, 4598, and an embroidered 8665 coat, 3801, a turban, 4801, and a sash, 73. And they shall make holy garments for Aharon your brother and his sons, that he may minister to me as a priest. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. Verse 6. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, of purple, and of scarlet, and fine twined linen with artistic workmanship. This is going to be a real piece of clothing that he's going to have, all these gorgeous garments. They're going to be the high priest's garments. Verse 7, it shall have two shoulder pieces, 3802, of it joined at the two edges of it, and so it shall be joined together. Verse 8, and the woven waistband, 2805, of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same according to the workmanship of it, of gold, of blue, of purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. Verse 9, and you shall take two stones of Shoham, 7718. Don't really know what that is, so I put Shoham there instead of some made-up stone. It says Shoham in the Hebrew, and Shoham it is. And engrave 6605 upon them the names of the children of Israel, the 12 tribes. Verse 10, six of the names on one stone, and the other six names on the rest of the other stone, according to their birth. Verse 11, with the work of an engraver, 2796, in stone, like the engravings, 6603, of a signet, 2368. That's like a signet ring or a seal that they used in wax as their symbol. Shall you engrave the two stones with the names of the sons of Israel, you shall make them to be set in a filigree setting of gold. It's going to be beautiful. Filigree setting is 4865. Verse 12. And you shall put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of record, 2146, to the children of Israel. And Aharon shall bear their names in the presence of Yahweh upon his two shoulders for a record. Verse 13, and you shall make filigree settings of gold. Verse 14, and two chains, 8333, of pure gold at the ends of twisted 5688 workmanship shall you make them, and fasten the twisted chains to the filigree settings. Verse 15, and you shall make the breastpiece of judgment, 4941, with artistic workmanship, like the workmanship of the ephod you shall make it, of gold, of blue, of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen you shall make it. Verse 16. 4 square, 7251. It shall be being doubled, 3717. A span, that means a hand span, an indeterminate length today, we don't know what it was, 2239, shall be the length of it, and a span shall be the width of it. Verse 17. And you shall set it in settings of stones, 4 rows of stones. Now these are going to be rows of 3 stones to equal 12 stones. The first row shall be a carnelian, number 124, a topaz, 6357, and an emerald, 1304. This shall be the first row. Verse 18. And the second row shall be a nophek, whatever that is, don't know, so I just put the Hebrew here, 5306. A sapphire, in the Hebrew, that's saphir, so that's where we get the word sapphire, 5601. And a yahalom, don't know what it is. They put other things into KJV just to fill in. I don't do that. 3095, Yahalom. Verse 19, and the third row, a leshem. Don't know what it is. So I put the Hebrew word, leshem. 3958, a shibo. Don't know what it is. 7618. And an amethyst, 306. We do know what that is. Verse 20. And the fourth row, a tarashish, 8658. Don't know what that is. The words are lost to us. They've substituted English words, and that is the wrong thing to do. If you don't know, say you don't know. A shoham, 7718. Don't know what it is. And a jasper, 3471. We do know what that is. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. Verse 21. And the stone shall be with the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with its name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. Like I said before, This they're going to have this. He's representing Israel before Yahweh. And he's going to bear the names of the 12 tribes upon him, whom he is representing. Verse 22. And you shall make upon the breastpiece chains. Again, at the ends of twisted work of pure gold. Very soft, 24 karat gold. 23. And you shall make upon the breastpiece two rings of gold, and you shall put the two rings on the two ends of the breastpiece. 24. And you shall put the two twisted chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastpiece. And the other two ends of the twisted chains you shall fasten in the two filigree settings and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod on the face of it. Verse 26. And you shall make the two rings of gold, and you shall put them on the two ends of the breastpiece in the border of it, which is in the side of the ephod inward. Verse 27. And you shall make two other rings of gold, and shall put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the fore part of it, opposite the other coupling of it, from above the woven waistband of the ephod. Verse 28. And they shall bind the breastpiece by the rings of it to the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the woven waistband of the ephod, and that the breastpiece be not loosed, 21:18, from the ephod. In other words, it's not going to fall off. Verse 29. And Aharon shall bear the names of the sons of Israel in the breastpiece of judgment upon his heart when he go in unto the holy place, for a record in the presence of Yahweh continually. Verse 30. And you shall put in the breastpiece of judgment the Urim, 2:2-4, and the Tumim, 85:50. This is what they used to cast lots. That's why they called it the breastpiece of judgment. And they shall be upon Aharon's heart when he goes in the presence of Yahweh. And Aharon shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart in the presence of Yahweh continually. Verse 31, and you shall make the robe of the ephod all of blue. Verse 32, and there shall be a hole in the top of it, in the middle of it. It shall have a binding, 81:93, of woven work around about the hole, as if were the hole of a as it were the hole of a collar, 8:4-7:3, so that it may not be torn. In other words, it was reinforcement. They sewed a decorative rim around it so that it wouldn't fray and tear. In verse 33, and beneath the hem, that's the bottom of it, 7:7-5:7, beneath the hem of it you shall make pomegranates, 7:4-1:6, of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem of it. In other words, they were to sew little decorative imitations of pomegranates. and bells 6472 of gold between them round about. 34. A golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. They repeated that over and over and over until we went all the way around. Verse 35. And it shall be upon Aharon to minister. And his sound shall be heard when he goes in unto the holy place in the presence of Yahweh. And when he comes out, so he does not die. He was going to give an announcement of him about to enter the Holy of Holies. That's courtesy to Yahweh. Verse 36. And you shall make a shining thing, 6731, of pure gold, and engrave upon it like the engravings of a signet, Holiness 6944 to Yahweh. And you shall put it on a blue lace, 6616, that it may be upon the turban, on the forefront of the turban it shall be. He's going to have a little golden plaque up there, says Holiness to Yahweh, on his turban. And it shall be upon Aharon's forehead, so that Aharon may bear, 5175, the punishment for iniquity, 5771, of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow, 6942, in all their holy gifts, 4979. And it shall always be upon his forehead, so that they may be accepted, 7522, in the presence of Yahweh. In other words, he had to make sure everything was just right, or he was going to be punished. If anything happened to any of the holy things and they were used improperly, it was on him. Verse 39. And you shall embroider 7660 the coat of fine linen, and you shall make the turban of fine linen, and you shall make the sash of needlework. They were going to embroider this sash very decoratively, very beautifully. It's really, all of this is going to be really fancy because it's before Yahweh. I mean, you just didn't walk in there wearing a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, okay? This is for the high priest in the days when Yahweh was visiting the temple. The temple's gone now. He's not visiting us except through the Holy Spirit. The temple is within us right now. And we have to keep it holy. That's our responsibility. Verse 40. And for the sons of Aharon shall you make coats, and you shall make sashes for them, and turbans you shall make for them, for glory and for beauty. Moshe's being told this. 41. And you shall put them upon Aharon your brother. He was Moshe's brother. He was to dress Aharon and his sons with him, and shall anoint them and fill their hand. Now that fill their hand means to give them the power of the priesthood. Their hand was filled with their duties. That's a Hebrew idiom. They were to be given the authority of the priesthood. And that's what fill your hand means. And consecrate them so they may minister to me as priests. Verse 42. And you shall make for them linen breeches, 4370, to cover their nakedness from the loins, 4975, that's the waist, unto the thighs they shall reach. That's holy underwear. Loins is 4975. Thighs. It was like a pair of shorts, okay? Verse 43, and they shall be upon Aharon and upon his sons when they enter the tent of meeting or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear no iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and his offspring. So they were to have these really fancy garments. And they were to wear linen underwear, like we wear cotton undershorts today, the men, okay? But these were long ones, came down to thigh. They were like boxers, except longer. And that's the commandment to how they would be dressed. Now we're going to get into chapter 29. There are no references with chapter 28. It just is. It doesn't pertain to anything else except this. Verse 29, or chapter 29, verse 1. Dyslexia strikes again. And this is the thing that you shall do to consecrate them, to minister to me as priests. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish. They had to be perfect. And bread of matzah, that's unleavened bread, and cakes 2471 of matzot mixed 1101 with oil, that would be pure olive oil, and wafers 7550 of matzot anointed with oil, that's like little crackers, very thin matzot, and you put a little olive oil on it, of wheat 2406 flour 5560 shall you make them. Matzah is always made just with wheat flour and water. It never has leaven in it. Nothing else is in it. And you shall put them in one basket, 5536, and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. Verse 4. And you shall bring Aharon and his sons to the door of the tent of meeting and shall wash them with water. They were to take a bath. This is the initial consecration, anointing them as priests. This is the first time. Big deal, big ceremony. Verse 5. And you shall take the garments and put upon Aharon the coat and the robe of the ephod and the breastpiece and gird him with the woven waistband of the ephod. Verse 6, and you shall put the turban on his head and put the crown 5145 upon the turban. That's the sign holiness to Yahweh. Verse 7, then you shall take the oil of anointing and pour it upon his head and anoint him. Verse 8, and you shall bring his sons and put the coats upon them. Verse 9, and you shall gird them with sashes, Aharon and his sons, and put the turbans upon them. And the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute, and you shall consecrate Aharon and his sons. Now that perpetual statute lasted until the time of Yeshua Messiah, when the Aharonic priesthood was polluted and infiltrated by the Edomites under the authority of the Romans. And they took over the priesthood and they were putting their Babylonian Talmudism in the services. And because of that pollution and abomination, Yeshua Messiah took it away from them. And he made the order of Melchizedek. They call it Melchizedek, but it's Melchizedek in the Hebrew. And Melchi means king, and Zedek means righteousness, king of righteousness. And Yeshua is the high priest and the king of righteousness over the order of the king of righteousness. So there's that. This is the very beginning of the Aharonic priesthood, which would last for a very long time, until the Edomites basically destroyed it. Verse 10, and you shall cause a bull to be brought before the tent of meeting, and Aharon and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the bull. Now, that act was to impute any sin to the bull and make them pure. This is a purification rite. Verse 11, and you shall slaughter the bull before Yahweh by the door of the tent of meeting. They're going to kill it right there. The first time they put the temple up. This is what he has to do when they finally erect the temple, which they will do at the end of this book. Verse 12, and you shall take of the blood of the bull and put it upon the horns of the altar with your finger. 6:7:6. He should dab the horns of the altar, which are on the corners. And then pour out all the blood beside the bottom of the altar. Verse 13, and you shall take all the fat, 2, 4, 5, 9, that covers the inwards, 71, 30, and the caul, C-A-U-L, 3508, that is above the liver, 3, 5, 1, 6, and the two kidneys, 3, 6, 2, 9, and the fat that is upon them, and burn, 6, 9, 9, 9, burn them upon the altar. Now, 6, 9, 9, 9 always has to do with the burning of incense. The burning of these inward organs is going to be as incense. 8, 3, 1, 3 is general burning and destruction by fire, which they did with unclean things. But this burning, 6, 9, 9, 9, is incense burning. Very specific, very exclusive. 14, but the flesh of the bull and his skin and his dung you shall burn, 8, 3, 1, 3, with fire outside of the camp. It is a sin offering, 2403, because those objects carried the sin of the priest out of the camp and were burned up. Now that 8313 is destruction by fire. There was nothing left to eat. They burned it completely to ashes. Verse 15, you shall also take one ram, and Aharon and his son shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. Again, verse 16, and you shall slaughter the ram, and you shall take his blood and sprinkle it round about the altar. All right, a remission of sin by blood. This is what they did then, before Yeshua Messiah ended it. Verse 17, and you shall cut in pieces the ram, and wash the inwards of him and his legs, and put them with his pieces and unto his head. And you shall burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering, 5930, to Yahweh. Okay. Let's see, 18. Hikartos, that's also 6999. Burn is incense. It is a burnt offering to Yahweh. It is a soothing, 5207, aroma, 7381. Okay, thus incense, a pleasing odor. An offering made by fire, that's all one word, that's 801, unto Yahweh. That would be completely burned. And you shall take the other ram, and Aharon and his son shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. Verse 20, then you shall slaughter the ram, and take of his blood, and put it on the tip of the right ear, in other words, the earlobe of Aharon, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of their right hand, that's verse 20, and that's tanuk of the right hand, and upon the great toe, again tanuk, which means the large digit on hand or foot, the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. That blood was to go on the altar. Verse 21. And you shall take of the blood that is on the altar, and of the oil of anointing, and sprinkle it upon Aharon, and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him, and he shall be consecrated, and his garments, and his sons, and his sons' garments with him. A blood consecration with the blood and the oil of anointing. This is the first initial consecration of the priesthood. This is a one-time thing. Verse 22. Also, you shall take of the ram the fat and the rump 4-5-1, and the fat that covers the inwards, and the caul above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and the right shoulder, for it is a ram of consecration. Verse 23, and a round loaf, 3603, of bread. Okay? 3603. That's a kikar. Now that word kikar means a round. Loaf is implied by the next word of bread, but kikar can mean a talent, a round of gold, or a round of silver of a certain weight, or a district of the land, a district of jurisdiction under a judge, a round, a district. It has a number of meanings. And a round loaf of bread, and one cake of round loaf bread with oil, and a wafer from the basket of matzot that is before Yahweh. Verse 24, and you shall put all in the hands of Aharon, and in the hands of his son, and shall wave 5130 them for a wave offering. That's wave offering is 8573. Before Yahweh. And you shall receive them from their hands, and burn them, again, 6999, upon the altar for a burnt offering, for a soothing aroma before Yahweh. It is an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. Verse 26, and you shall take the breast of the ram of Aharon's consecration and wave it, 5130, for a wave offering, again, 8573, before Yahweh, and it shall be your portion, the portion of the Levites. They're going to eat that. Verse 27, and you shall sanctify the breast of the wave offering and the shoulder of the set apart offering, one word, 8641, which is waved and which is lifted off of the ram of consecration, that which is for Aharon, and of that which is for his sons. Here they establish their portion from these offerings, only specific offerings. Verse 28, and it shall be Aharon's and his sons by a statute forever from the children of Israel, for it is a set apart offering, and it shall be a set apart offering from the children of Israel on the sacrifice of their offerings of well-being, 8002, Shalomim, their set apart offering unto Yahweh. Now remember, the Levites were never to have a portion among Israel. Their portion was Yahweh. And they were to live exclusively off the donations of these offerings, the food and the grain, etc., etc., and the oil. That was their portion because they were busy all the time doing priestly duties. They had no time to work or farm or do anything else. So they had to live. These guys were full-time priests, 24/7. They were up 24. A lot of these guys, they did it in shifts. They were up 24 hours making sure those lamps never went out. That was a commandment. You must keep these lamps burning. They had to do that. Then they had to do the sacrifices and the offerings of the people during the day. I mean, they had a busy schedule. They stayed right there at the temple. And they camped in the middle of the encampment of Israel, so the tabernacle was always in the middle of the encampment of Israel as they traveled through the wilderness. They all walked toward the center to worship. It was the center of their lives and the center of their encampment. Verse 29, and the holy garments of Aharon shall be his sons after him, to be anointed in them and to be full of hand in them, to have the power of the high priest. When Aharon finally died, the next son in line would be the high priest. Verse 30, and that son that is priest in his place shall put them on 7 days. When he comes into the tent of meeting to minister in the holy place. Verse 31, and you shall take the ram of consecration and seethe his flesh in the holy place. They boiled it. Verse 32, and Aharon and his son shall eat the flesh of the ram, and the bread that is in the basket by the doorway of the tent of meeting. They would go out toward the doorway and sit down and eat this food. And they shall eat those things by which the propitiation was made to be full of hand, in other words, have full power, and to be consecrated by them. But a stranger, 21:14, shall not eat of it because they are holy. Now this is strange to the law or strange to the priesthood. That's a zer, different spellings. It didn't necessarily mean a racial alien. It meant someone not of the Aharonic line. A Zebulonite could not eat this stuff. He wasn't of the seed of Aharon. It was set apart for the Levites. So that stranger means even a stranger of Israel, of a different tribe than Levi, couldn't eat that. That's not used as specifically racial alien there. Verse 34, and if any of the flesh of the consecrations or of the bread remain until the morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. And that burn is 8313, to destroy with fire. It shall not be eaten because it is holy. He didn't leave it over to the morning. Just like the Passover, they didn't leave anything over the morning. Anything was left, they had to burn. Well, this is the forerunner of that. Verse 35, "And thus shall you do to Aharon and to his sons, according to all things which I have commanded you. 7 days shall they be full of hand." They were to stay there for 7 days. They are not to leave the tent of meeting. Verse 36, "And you shall slaughter every day a bull for a sin offering for propitiation. And you shall make a sin offering," 2398. Now, 2398 can be concerning a sin, and it also concerns a sin offering. And 2398 has the connotation of missing the mark of duty or obligation or service. You fall short of the mark. You haven't done all that you're supposed to do. Well, this is a propitiation for that. "And you shall make a sin offering upon the altar when you have made propitiation for it after the altar is sanctified, and you shall anoint it to consecrate it." Verse 37, "7 days you shall make propitiation for the altar and consecrate it," every day. "And it shall be an altar most holy," that's emphatic, "who whatsoever touches the altar shall be holy," just by touching it. Verse 38, "Now this is what you shall offer upon the altar: 2 lambs of the first year every day continually." This is not just for the 7 days. This is every day from then on, when they had that altar. Verse 39, "The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer in the evening." Verse 40, "And with one lamb a tenth part," 6241, "of flour," 5560, "mixed with the fourth part of a hin," 1969, "of beaten oil," that's olive oil, "and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering," 5262. (clears throat) 41, "And the other lamb you shall offer at evening, and shall again do according to the grain offering, 4503, of the morning, and according to the drink offering of it for a soothing aroma, an offering made by fire unto Yahweh." This was like incense again, that 6999 burning. And when they offer, it means to send up. A burnt offering means to let the smoke of it ascend to Yahweh. Verse 42, "This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tent of meeting before Yahweh, where I will meet you to speak to you there." Now that's Yahweh speaking to Moshe, and he's going to meet Moshe at that door. Nobody else, just Moshe. And he will meet with the children of Israel, but won't speak to them. He'll just be a pillar of cloud, and they'll see that and bow down in fear before of it and worship. Verse 43, "And there I will meet with the children of Israel and shall be sanctified by my glory." They're going to see the glory of Yahweh, and they will bow down and worship. He's not going to talk to them. He's going to talk to Moshe, because everything is through the hand, or in other words, funneled through Moshe. Verse 44, "And I will sanctify the tent of meeting and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aharon and his sons to minister to me as priests." Okay, that's all one word. That minister to me as priests is lakahen, not kohen. That's priest, but the duty of ministering as priest is kahen. 3, 5, 4, 7. Different word, different meaning. It's all one word. 45, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their Elohi. That's 40, their divine being. Verse 46, and they shall know that I am Yahweh Elohim, their divine being, the long spelling, that brought them forth from the land of Mitzrayim, that I may dwell among them. I am Yahweh Elohim. He's going to dwell in that tabernacle. That's going to be his dwelling place. As he travels along in the journeys of Israel through the wilderness. And that's why this tabernacle had to be so special. Now the whole setup with the courtyard and the outer ring and the inner sanctuary is called the Tent of Meeting. That's Ohel Moed. Meeting, the appointed tent, the tent of appointment. Moed means to be appointed. It can be used the appointed feast, the appointed day, appointed as authority, appointed as a priest. Means to appoint. And that tent was appointed for Yahweh. And that's why they call it the tent of meeting, the tent of appointment. It means you have an appointment to meet. And that's where the tent of meeting comes from. You meet at an appointed time. Well, that just about gets it for today. That's 28 and 29. And tomorrow I will get into chapter 30 and probably 31. These are all construction details, which end pretty much in chapter 31. This is a historical perspective of why they behaved as they behaved. At the beginning, this was set up, and they were to carry this through the wilderness with them. And different tribes of Levi were appointed different tasks. Some to do this, some to do that. And the direct sons of Aharon of the tribe of Levi were to be the Kohanim, the priesthood. So that's about that. So I will join you again tomorrow morning. And I say Shalom Aleichem to all my Israelite brothers and sisters. And may Yahweh bless.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Lord.